This is HPR episode 2334 entitled, Our Adventure Begins. It is hosted by Claudio Miranda and is about 16 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, I discuss Colossal Cave Adventure and the adventure of playing it with my son.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. This is Claudio M., also known as Claudio Miranda in the real world. I wanted to do a little Hacker Public Radio episode here on my personal experience some time ago. Not too long ago, but rather recently, I'll say over the Memorial Day weekend, with a game that many of you may have played when it was originally out. Originally available on back in the day in the 70s and 80s or on your home computer, or even now or recently if you've ever delved into the terminal and played or loaded the BSD games package. I'm talking about Adventure, or as it's fully known, Colossal Cave Adventure. Well, as I said, over the Memorial Day weekend, I came across the news that Colossal Cave Adventure was open sourced. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, I'm going to put in the link in the show notes to the Wikipedia entry for Colossal Cave Adventure. Most of the stuff I'm getting right now is actually from a blog post I did it was actually over the Memorial Day weekend, so... So I'll put the link to that because there's some video there that we'll add on to this episode. So yeah, Colossal Cave Adventure was open sourced, and the person that took the task to open source it with the blessing of the original authors was Eric S. Raymond, aka ESR, well known for his Cathedral and the Bazaar, and very well known in the open source community. He was encouraged actually by the original authors to open source it, to clean it up and ship it under an open source license. Well, as I said, he took on that task, and thus Open Adventure was born. Now, I haven't downloaded this yet. I said in my blog post that I would intend to, and I just completely forgot. Just life gets in the way, but anyway, so if you really want to get a feel for what this game is like, it's a text adventure game. I don't know if any of you are familiar with, those of you that are around my age or so, you shouldn't be familiar with the Infocom text adventure games. Well, this is very much like that. As a matter of fact, I think this is the granddaddy of them all. So all of them being inspired by this. If I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me in the comments. But yeah, so he open sourced it, called it Open Adventure. Now, you might be thinking, well, big deal. Okay, this is the same thing as what's in the BSD games package. I can just install that and play it. Actually, no. The version that he open sourced was actually from the original code, the original version that Crowther and Woods, the authors, had created. And that has actually been updated all the way up to 1995. And the version that ESR did, that he open sourced, is the latest version of the original Crowther and Woods release, which, as I said, from 1995. So it has a lot of stuff that's updated in it that you won't find in the BSD Games version, because the one that's in the BSD Games package is based on the original code from the 1970s. So it's missing a lot of stuff. So you may want to go ahead and grab the source code for Open Adventure. I'm not sure if it'll eventually end up in the repositories for your favorite Linux distribution or BSD flavor or what have you. But I'm sure it will. Being open source, someone will put it in there. But anyway, so I went ahead and I had played it here and there, but this time around, after seeing this, I really wanted to give it a try. And so I went ahead and I installed the BSD Games package on my Fedora laptop. And my intention was to get my middle son into it, because he likes to use the computer that I have in Fedora installed on. And I figured, he's more open to playing different types of games than my other two kids are. So let me give him a taste of what the text adventure games are like. So, but before I go into this, I want to go into a little bit of history on my own childhood experience of text adventure games. So yeah, I grew up during the burgeoning home computer industry in the late 1970s and 80s. I was born in 72, just so you know, just to be exact. So my introduction to these computer-based text adventure games was at a friend's house on her Commodore VIC-20. Now, if I recall correctly, I think it was called Adventure 2 Pirate Cove. Now, in my blog post, I have a YouTube video of it. I'll go ahead and include the link as well for the YouTube video so you can get a feeling for what it's like. But yeah, so that was one that I was exposed to. That was my introduction to the text adventure games. Now, me having always been an Atari kid, I had the Atari 2600, and then I graduated from that to the ColecoVision, and I even learned BASIC on a Commodore PET at school, when they had these after school activities. So I was still more into the whole video thing, but when I was introduced to this, I was very intrigued by it. Of course, no graphics at all. It was all the graphics, all the imagery was in your mind. And that, I was never the kind of kid that would look forward to reading. I hated to read. I hated to read. But this engaged me a whole lot more than any plain old book could. Heck, I was even a fan of the interactive books. Where you select, you were given the option. If you want to go down this path, go to the next page. If not, skip to page so and so. And I love those books, but of course they're very limited as far as what you can do. So this computer text adventure game just took, for me, it seemed like it took that interactive book concept and just made it so much more dynamic. So I found myself imagining, as I was playing the game, imagining what was being described in just text. And I felt myself going through a range of emotions as my friend and I entered the commands with results that we had no idea would happen. So since then, I had delved into similar games, as I mentioned, like from Infocom and others. And I would just spend hours upon hours or at night just playing these games, late nights. Just playing these games, just completely engrossed in the gameplay of these text adventure games. And that was from when I had my Mattel Aquarius, because that was my first computer, all the way up until I upgraded to my Apple IIc. I had some games, some friends of mine, they lent me a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And that one had me hooked for a while, and I would get stuck. Now, and it's just for me, there wasn't any video game that could even come close to this kind of experience. So let's time hop forward to that Memorial Day weekend, okay? I put BSD games on my Fedora laptop, told my son, hey, come here, let's have a sit down here together, and let's play this game together. So I even went so far as to hit Alt F2 and drop down to a complete virtual console. That way I could get the whole full experience of an actual text adventure. No Xorg, no nothing. Just complete command line. And as he sat, my son sat there with me. He was kind of hesitant. He was like, I don't know if I want to do this. But as time passed and I started to show him how to navigate within the game, I could see it. I could see what happened to me as a kid. I could see it happening to him. He would just slip into the world of the Colossal Cave and Tex Adventures in general, just as I did when I was his age. Now, we would both go on this adventure and discover new ways of just kind of surpassing obstacles or die trying. And boy, did we die trying a lot. But we had fun. We just had a great time together the whole time. And after a while, he actually started taking the laptop away from me. He just grabbed it and started commandeering the machine himself. He just wouldn't let me type anything. So I just let him have it. I told him to, you know, go on and figure it out and put in the commands. And I tell him, no, go this way. And he would say, no, I'm going to go this way. It was just great. It was, there was no doubt about it. He was completely hooked. And so that night, I had him install BSD games on his laptop, which I had put a temporary for door installation because his hard drive had died. So I gave him a spare hard drive just for now until his mom's can get him a new hard drive. And I put Fedora on it because this hard drive I had was too small for his Windows 10, which is what he normally uses there. So I installed that. And I also installed it on the Fedora desktop that I have at home. So that way they can play on it there. So I had spoken to him the day after when I was back at work on that Tuesday after Memorial Day. And he actually called me and he told me that he couldn't sleep thinking of how to get past some of the obstacles in the game. And he's already installed the Android port on his phone. So I told him that I would try and see about finding some of the text adventure games like Zork and all those, which I remember playing, but I never really had it. And I just kind of played it when I was in stores. But those were ones that were real fun. Now, there is a package called Frotz that will allow you to run the games like Zork. I tried testing it out a while ago, but I didn't have much luck. And I kind of just dropped it there because things just got kind of busy. So I want to see if I can eventually come back to that. So hopefully that'll be something that I can... that I can get installed for him. That way we can start embarking on our next text adventure. So, yeah. The fun thing I remember playing that was the special magic words, such as XYZZY, which would do certain things. But I won't give away... If you haven't played, I don't want to give away what it does. You can figure that out for yourself. And I did finally manage to kill the Wumpus. So, yeah, that's another game that's in the BSD Games package. So that one's a little different in the gameplay, but still kind of fun. He actually showed me a picture, my son, that he managed to kill the Wumpus as well. So very proud of my son. but anyways, just check it out. Be sure to check out the links in the show notes. If you have some sort of Linux or Unix-like operating system installed, feel free to install BSD games. Do a search using your respective package manager. It's named differently. Like, for example, on FreeBSD, it's BSD games. But on Fedora, it's BSD-games. So you might want to watch out for that. Anyways, I know there's one other thing, but I think I need to do something else. Let me type this one command here. Let me see. JUNASTS. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Opening sound clip taken from The Hobbit: An Unexpected Journey. Closing song is the Free Software song performed by Mark Forey, Yvette Osborne, Ron Fox, Steve Finney, Bill Cope, Kip McAtee, Ernie Provencher, and Dan Auville. You can find this version of the Free Software song at www.gnu.org/music/free-software-song.en.html. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.